السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of God, most gracious, most merciful. All praise is due to God, Lord of the universe, and may the peace and blessings of God be upon all of His prophets and messengers, including His final and beloved messenger, the seal of the prophet Muhammad. On this pure and immaculate household and righteous companions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Holy Quran, in chapter 31, verse 12, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ أَنْ شُكُرْ لِلَّهِ وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرْ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. And indeed, we gave Luqman wisdom. Give thanks to God. And whosoever gives thanks, he gives thanks for his own sake. And whosoever is ungrateful, truly God is self-sufficient. Praise Amin Abillah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
When we examine the Quran, we find that God frequently gives us, in the lives and legacies of the prophets and messengers, God gives us an example, a model to follow. Concerning our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, God says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنٌ. Indeed, you people have in the Messenger of God, Rasulullah, you have in him an excellent example. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, Abraham, and the community of believers with him. Allah says, قَدْ كَانَتْ لَكُمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ فِي إِبْرَاهِيمُ وَالَّذِينَ. Indeed, in Abraham and the people, the believers that were with him, there is for you, O people, there is a great example, an excellent example. Thus, the Qur'an encourages us to take these personalities, the prophets and the messengers, as examples for our lives. However, at the same time, we find that God tells us and shows and provides for us in the Qur'an examples of individuals who were not prophets and who were not messengers, but yet they are still considered primary examples and role models for us. Because many times, we may think to ourselves, yes, the Quran tells us to take the prophets and the messengers, and the imams, to take them as examples. But who am I, as an ordinary person, how is it that I can attain the rank, and or not attain the rank, but follow in the footsteps of these infallible messengers and prophets? They were infallible, they were error-free, they were sinless. How is it that I am able to take them as a role model? Many times in my discussions with young people, some of them, they've brought up this issue to me. When we're talking about different issues, I give them the examples of the prophets, the messengers, the imams. I tell them, look at their history, look at their lives and legacies. These are examples for us, role models for us. I frequently receive this answer, but they're imams, they're prophets, they're messengers, who am I? How can I follow in the footsteps of prophets and messengers? Thus we see that the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in addition to telling us that the ultimate examples, the best examples for us are the prophets and the messengers, yet Allah also gives us examples of individuals who are not prophets and who are not messengers, but are also considered role models for us, examples for us. And one of the primary examples is that of Luqman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about Luqman, this pious individual, this righteous individual. Allah gives us the example of Luqman. In fact, Luqman is so important that the Quran dedicates one of the chapters, chapter 31, to Luqman. It's named after Luqman. And the story of Luqman is only mentioned in this chapter and in a few verses of this chapter, not even the entire chapter. In verses 12 to 19 of chapter 31, 8 verses. In these 8 verses, they provide us with a glimpse of the sublime wisdom and advice that Luqman, peace be upon him, he delivers to his son. And this sublime wisdom and advice, if we really take a closer look, we find that these 8 verses of wisdom and advice, they form the essence, the core of our theological, religious, moral, and social responsibilities in life. In these 8 verses. So inshallah, tonight and over the next 6 weeks, we'll focus and explore these verses in detail. But tonight, I'd like to begin first by going back to the personality of Luqman himself. Who was Luqman? How did Luqman achieve wisdom? We find that historians and scholars, they have related many different traditions regarding Luqman and the personality of Luqman. We're told that Luqman was a very wise individual. He was a sage. He's known as Luqman al-Hakim. Many of the traditions, they tell us that Luqman was not a prophet. He was not a messenger. The vast majority of our scholars and the exegetes, the interpreters of the Quran, they say that Luqman was not a prophet. He was not a messenger. Yet he was a very pious man who attained a great level of wisdom and discernment. Some traditions tell us that Luqman began as a slave, as an African slave. And yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors Luqman with discernment and insight and wisdom that during his time was unmatched. We find that historians tell us that Luqman lived approximately 1,000 years before Prophet Isa a.s. He was a contemporary of Prophet David, Dawood, peace be upon him. That means that he lived about 3,000 years ago. And that the description of him tells us that Luqman, peace be upon him, he was kathir tafakkur. He would do what? He would contemplate and ponder for long periods of time. He would think a lot. He would ponder, he would contemplate. Kathir tafakkur, hasan al-yaqeen, his certainty, his iman, his piety was good. It was excellent. We're told that he loved Allah, he expressed his love for Allah. حَبَّ اللَّهِ فَأَحَبَّ اللَّهِ. He expressed his love towards God, and so God, in return, he did what? He expressed his own love towards Luqman, وَمَنَّ عَلَيْهِ بِالْحِكْمَةِ. He bestowed upon him wisdom. And thus we find in verse 12, Surah Luqman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحُكْمَةَ. And indeed, we have given, or we have bestowed upon Luqman wisdom. The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, in the tradition, he relates to us the story of how Luqman attained his We're told that Luqman, one day in the afternoon, he was taking a small nap. And as he was resting, he heard the angels. He did not see them, but he heard the angels. They revealed to him, they announced to him, they told him, "Oh Luqman, would you like your Lord to bestow upon you authority so that you would be able to become prestigious? You would have a position of authority and leadership and judgment that you may judge in accordance with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands? Would you like this?" Luqman answers, he says, "If I have a choice, then I would rather not. If I can be given a choice as to whether to accept this authority or not, I would rather not." How many of us would turn down a promotion at our job, for instance, or another sort of promotion in society? If someone tells me, "Listen, I'm going to give you an honorary PhD. How many people would reject it? Probably not too many. Someone tells me, "Listen, I'm going to promote you to manager. I'm going to promote you to CEO. How many of us would reject this and say, "No, no, I'm better off not taking this promotion"? This was essentially what was being given or offered to Luqman. The angels told him, "Oh Luqman, would you like for God to choose you and to give you a specific authority, leadership, so that you judge amongst the people according to God's rule?" Luqman says, "If I have the choice, I would rather not. I would choose not to. But if I do not have the choice, then of course, I obey God's command. And I know that God will help me, will aid me in doing so. But again, if I have the choice, I would rather not." So the angels, they ask Luqman, they tell him, "Why? Why is it that you would not accept this?" Luqman answers, he says, "Because it's very risky, you see. This position that I'm being offered, it's a very risky position. It is one whose holder is liable. There's a lot of liability here. The one who holds this position is vulnerable to committing all sorts of errors and mistakes and slipping here and there. It's too risky for me. I don't like this type of risk. Those who hold this type of authority, they barely make it successfully. Those who are able to be successful, they barely do so successfully. Many of them, and if they fall into error, then they will lose this life and the hereafter." And so he tells them, he says, "For me to have honor in the next life, but not be honored with a great position in this life, is better than for me to have a high position in this life, to be honored in this life, but not to be honored in the hereafter. I would rather prefer the hereafter than this life." This was Luqman's reply to this offer. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, he says, that night Luqman, he went to sleep. And when he woke up, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had bestowed upon him a special type of wisdom. So that everything that he would say, all of his interactions would be those of one who is a sage, one who is wise. Wisdom, the hikmah, essentially, is that we are able to think, is that we are able to act and decide with prudence, with intelligence, with soundness. Imagine a person whose every thought, every action, everything they say or do is correct. They don't make a mistake. Some people, I've witnessed this in my own life, I've seen some people who, subhanAllah, they never say something out of the ordinary. They never do something out of the ordinary. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected them with wisdom. When they say something, it's something correct. They never say something, not less, not more. It's always right. When they act, they do so in wisdom. They never do something that they regret. They're always acting and deciding and thinking based on prudence and soundness. This is wisdom. And we have to ask ourselves, is it possible for us to achieve this sort of wisdom? Yes, of course. Luqman alayhi salam, he was a pious individual, and this is what I began with, yet he was not a prophet nor a messenger, and this is why his example is so important. Because it was through his efforts, through his piety, through his own efforts that he was able to achieve this level of wisdom. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted this wisdom upon him because of his own efforts, because of his own dedication. And so he's a great example for us. So how do we achieve this sort of wisdom? What are the ways in which we can achieve wisdom? Imam Ali alayhi salam, he tells us, he says, one of the ways to achieve wisdom or acquire wisdom, he says, اغلب الشهوة تكمن لك الحكم. It's a short phrase, but it's very powerful. Imam Ali alayhi salam, he says, overcome and control your lower desires and you will acquire wisdom. It's a simple formula. In terms of formula, it's simple. It's not as simple to put into practice. Because many times we find that many of our thoughts and our actions and our decisions are based or are controlled by our desires. We have various desires that we pursue in life. And so many of our decisions, they're based on these desires. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, if you want to achieve and acquire wisdom, hikmah, then you have to be able to overcome your desires. You have to be able to control your desires. We're told that when Abu Muslim al-Khurasani, he was one of the individuals who was sent as a governor by the Abbasids. When the Umayyads were falling and the Abbasids were coming to power, in about the middle or the earlier part of the 2nd century of Hijra, at about the early 8th century of the Common Era, we find that as the Abbasids, they were coming to power, they were overthrowing the Umayyads, they sent a man by the name of Abu Muslim al-Khurasani, they sent him towards Khurasan in order that he govern Khurasan, that Khurasan would fall under the control of the Abbasids, that it would be part of the empire. So they sent this man, Abu Muslim. And history tells us that when Abu Muslim, he went to Khurasan, he entered into Marw, which at the time was the capital of Khurasan. And when he entered into Marw, we're told that as soon as he entered there, he asked around, he told them, the people of the town, he told them, guide me to the wisest person in this community. Who's the wisest person? Who's your hakim? Who's your sage? Guide me to him. So they guided him towards a man who was not a Muslim. In fact, he was a Zoroastrian, he was a Majusi. They guided him to him. And they told him, this is the wisest person that we have in our community. So Abu Muslim, he asked this man, the Zoroastrian man, he tells him, how is it that you became the most wise? How is it that you achieved this wisdom, you became the most wise? The man, he replied to him, he told him, every day in the morning, when I wake up, I have a Lord that I worship. And this Lord that I worship every single morning, I put him on the ground and I step on him with my foot. So Abu Muslim became angry. He pulled out his sword. You know, many of these governors of the Umayyads, and including the Abbasids, they were very quick to chop people's heads off immediately. So he pulls out his sword, he's about to kill this person, kill this man. The man tells him, hold on, wait, wait. Give me a chance, let me explain. He tells him, what do you mean that you step on this Lord of yours that you worship? He told him, have you not read in your book, your holy book, meaning the Quran, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ. Have you not seen the one who takes his desires as his Lord, the object of worship? He tells him, the object of my worship is my desires, just like everyone else. Yet every morning I take this Lord of mine and I place him on the ground and I stomp on him, I step on him. This is how he was able to acquire wisdom. Amir al-Mu'min tells us, it's a simple formula. He says, اغلب الشهوات تكون لك. Control your desires, overcome your desires, do not be controlled by your desires, and you will achieve wisdom. And Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, he gives us more advice on steps to achieving, acquiring wisdom. He says, من زهد في الدنيا أثبت الله الحكمة في قلبه وأنطق لها لسانه. He says, whoever expresses asceticism, whoever disciplines him or herself in this life, في الدنيا, they have self-discipline when it comes to living in this life. أَثْبَتَ اللَّهُ الْحِكْمَةَ فِي قَلْبِهِ. God establishes and bestows wisdom upon this person in his or her heart and mind. وَأَنْطَقَ بِهَا لِسَانَهُ. And then this translates into what? Into wise speech, into wise action. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows a person with wisdom in their heart and in their mind, then this does what? It doesn't just say there. It translates into their speech, into their actions. And so their actions and their words and their decisions, they become based on wisdom. The one who achieves self-discipline, asceticism. Imam Ali alayhi salam, in interpreting verse number 23 from chapter 57, he tells us, he says, the verse, لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْ عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا آتَاكُمْ. So that you do not despair when you lose something. And you do not rejoice or exult when you acquire something. He says that in order to achieve wisdom, in order to achieve zuhd, discipline, self-discipline, all we have to do is observe this recommendation by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْ عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا آتَاكُمْ. When you lose something, do not despair. Many times, we find that we face challenges in life. And many times we end up despairing, whether it's loss of money, business, whether it's loss of family members, loved ones, whether it's loss of health, whether it's loss of our job, whether it's loss, any type of loss, we find that many people, when they lose things in life, they quickly fall into a state of despair. As if there is no solution. As if there is no way out. Some people end up feeling as if their entire world has ended. That's it. there's no purpose for their life because they lost their job, because they lost their income, because they lost their investments, because they lost a loved one, their health. And so many, unfortunately, they end up despairing. On the other hand, we find that sometimes when it comes to gaining things, some of us, we become overjoyed. Sometimes when I'm coming back from school, I'm coming home, if my wife's home and I'm talking to her on the phone, I ask her, I say, honey, what's for lunch, what's for dinner? And she tells me, I become overjoyed. Huh? I become excited. The rest of the way in traffic, all I'm thinking about is food when I get home. Huh? I'm not thinking about anything else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you want to be able to achieve self-discipline, if you want to recognize what zuhd is, asceticism, it's that you do not despair when you lose something, nor do you become overjoyous, nor do you rejoice too much over that which you acquire. This is asceticism. That you realize that this life is a temporary life, and that everything that we have, everything that we own, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us for a certain amount of time, and whenever Allah decides, He can take it away. Not to be dependent on our material life, the things that we depend on in this material life. Whether it's our wealth, whether it's our jobs, whether it's family members, friends, whether it's our social capital, whatever it may be. بِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْ عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا آتَكُمْ. I read a story once about a poor man. He lived with his wife and six children in a small home, one-room home. You can imagine, father and mother and six children living together in a one-room home. Huh? And so it was difficult for them. They would not be able to move. They slept there, they ate there, everything in this one small home. Small house. So one day, the man, he gets up and he tells his wife, he begins to complain to her. He says, you know, I'm fed up with this. What is this situation? This small home and it's cramped and the kids and it's not a situation that we can bear. So what should I do? What should I do about this? And I'm poor. I have no capacity to be able to buy a larger home. What should I do? So his wife, she suggests, why don't you go to the town sheikh and speak to him? Perhaps he can help you find a solution. So this poor man, he leaves his house and he goes to the sheikh. He goes and he tells him, he says, oh sheikh, I have a big problem. I'm a poor man, I'm not able to make too much money, and this is my situation. And it's very difficult for me to live this kind of lifestyle. And it's gotten to the point now where between the family members, we're always arguing. Between me and my wife and the kids and the siblings, they're fighting with one another because there's no room for us to live. So what should I do? The sheikh, he thought for a moment. And then he turned to him and he told him, you know, I have an answer, I have a solution for you, but you have to promise me that you will do it. He says, I promise. He told him, do you have any animals? He said, yes, I have animals. He told him, what do you have? He said, I have one cow, one goat, and a few chickens. He told him, okay, very good. I want you to go home and I want you to take the cow and the goat and the chickens and to take them inside the house with you. So the man, he looks at him and he tells him, well, you're joking, huh? He said, no, I'm not joking. He said, but I can't do that. He told him, you promise. You promise that you will do what I tell you. So the man says, yes, I promise. He goes home. And he brings with him inside the house the cow and the goat and the chickens in his small one-room house. The next day, the next morning, he comes running to the Shaykh. He tells him, "Oh Shaykh, what did you do to me? We can't live. These animals are in the house. They're causing us problems. You destroyed my life. What kind of solution? Help me." So the Shaykh tells him, "Okay, okay, calm down, calm down. I have a solution for you. Go and take your chickens and take them out of the house." So the man, he goes home, he takes the chickens, takes them out of the house. The next day he comes running back to him. He tells him, "Oh Shaykh, my life is destroyed. This goat is destroying the furniture that we have, eating everything. What kind of solution is this?" He tells him, "Okay, okay, don't worry. Calm down, calm down. May God bless you. I have a solution for you. Go home and take this goat and take him outside of the house." So the man goes home, he takes the goat, he takes it outside the house. The next day he comes, he tells him, "Ya Shaykh, you know, this cow, who can live with a cow in the house? Have you ever seen someone live with a cow inside the house?" He tells him, "Okay, okay, calm down. No problem. You're right. No one can live with a cow in the house. So I have a solution for you. Go home, take the cow, and take it out of the house." The man goes home, he takes the cow out of the house. The next day, he comes with a big smile on his face. He tells him, he says, "Ya Shaykh, our house is so quiet now. Our house is so clean now and so peaceful. Thank you for providing me with this solution." Brothers and sisters, you see, self-discipline, asceticism, zuhd, it's really about perspective. And we live our lives really based on perspective. Perspective is everything, brothers and sisters, because it's not necessarily what we see, but the way we see it. And if we're able to change the way that we look at things, then the things that we look at will also change. Many times we focus on what? We focus on the things that we don't have. Many of us, we focus on the things that we don't have. "I don't have this specific job. I don't have this specific home. I don't have this vehicle. I don't have this position. I haven't gone here. I haven't done this. I haven't done that." And in the meantime, we end up doing what? We end up forgetting that which we do have. Zuhd is not that we make everything that is halal to us, we prohibit it, and we say, "Haram, khalas, I'm going to go in a cave, and I'm not coming back for 40 years. I'm staying in the cave." No, 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 that's not it. But zuhd is our capacity to discipline ourselves. To discipline ourselves. Not to allow our desires, no matter what kind of desires they are, whether they are the most basic or the most grand desires, not to allow those desires to control us, but to be in control of our desires, to discipline ourselves. It's when we're able to discipline ourselves that we're able to achieve wisdom. And this is what many of the traditions they tell us regarding Luqman. If you go to the books of Tafsir, they tell us that Luqman was able to discipline himself, even in the most basic things. Even when it came to his talking, he would talk only appropriately. He would not talk less, and he would not talk more. Only appropriately. Only as much as he needed. That he would spend time thinking. He would spend time preparing for the hereafter. Not just preparing for this life that we have here. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ. We gave Luqman, we bestowed upon Luqman wisdom. And then he says, أَنِشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ. So give thanks to God. Allah reminds Luqman, give thanks to God that Allah has bestowed you with wisdom. And then Allah says, وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرْ لِنَفْسِهِ. And whoever gives thanks, he or she does so for his or her own sake. Allah says when we express gratitude, no one is benefiting except ourselves. Sometimes in our ordinary lives, when I give a gift to someone, right, when I give something to someone, either a physical gift or I give them resources or my time or whatever it may be, when we give something to someone, many of us, we may not expect thanks. But if we are thanked, what happens to us? What happens? We become happy. The least thing, we become happy. Even if we don't express this happiness, the happiness inside, it benefits us. When we are thanked, it benefits us, right? The one who is thanked. And this is why we teach our children from a young age. We tell them, we teach them to always say what? Please and thank you, right? Because it's kind. It's courteous to say please and thank you. So when I give someone and someone thanks me, it benefits me, right? In the case of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we express gratitude and thanks, the only person that benefits is ourselves, not God. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not benefit. Nor is Allah harmed. Whether the entire world decides to thank Allah day and night or to reject Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not benefit, nor is God harmed. And this is why the Quran tells us, وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرْ بِنَفْسِهِ. And whoever gives thanks, he or she gives thanks, the benefit of that thanks goes to him or herself. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. And whoever is ungrateful, God is self-sufficient and praised. And this is why we are encouraged to always give thanks. And this is part of this self-discipline that we have. That we always give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we constantly show gratitude to our Creator and our Sustainer. And we are told that the best gratitude is when it begins from the heart. When before I express gratitude, I pronounce gratitude with my tongue, I express this gratitude by recognizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favors in my heart. And then I express gratitude with my tongue. I end with the beautiful phrase from the Munajat of Imam Zayn al-Abidin alayhi salam regarding giving thanks and expressing gratitude. The Imam says, he says, فَكَيْفَ لِي بِتَحْصِيلِ الشُّكْرِ. Oh my Lord, how am I even able to acquire gratitude? How can I even express gratitude, oh Allah? And then he says, وَشُكْرِ إِيَّاكَ يَفْتَقِرُ إِلَى شُكْرِ. How is it that I am able to achieve gratitude? I am able to express gratitude and thanks to you, oh Allah, when this act itself of me recognizing and expressing gratitude is a result of your blessings? Because we said what? We said whether the entire world recognizes Allah and gives thanks to Allah or not, God is still self-sufficient. God is still praised. And thus those who do express recognition and gratitude, this is an extra level of blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you are able to express this gratitude. This is why the Quran says, وَقَلِيلٌ مِنْ عِبَادِ الشَّكُورِ. Very little of God's servants are those who really express gratitude. Small group. So the Imam says, how can I express thanks to you when my thanks itself, when this act of thanks itself is dependent on your gratitude. فَكُلَّمَا قُلْتُ لَكَ الْحَمْدُ. Every time I say thank you, praise be to you, O Allah. Thanks to you, O Allah. وَجَبَ عَلَيَّ كَذَلِكَ أَنْ أَقُولَ لَكَ الْحَمْدُ. For that act, once again, I need to be able to say thank you, O Allah. Thank you for giving me recognition of your blessings. Thank you for not allowing me to ignore or forget your blessings upon me. Thank you, O my Lord. Inshallah, next week we will continue with the rest of the verses of Surah Luqman, inshallah. We will explore some of the beautiful advice that Luqman, peace be upon him, offers to his son and the lessons that we can learn from this advice. Brothers and sisters, I remind you that on Saturday, inshallah, at 7 p.m., we will be having the celebration of the birth of Lady Fatima Zahra alayhi salam. All of you are encouraged to come with your family, with your friends. We will be having a number of female speakers, inshallah, this time it's all female speakers, in recognition and honor of Fatima Zahra alayhi salam. And as our dear brother Hashtamir mentioned earlier, these sisters, they are very active, very educated sisters, lawyers and activists in our community, very successful. So we look forward to hearing from them, inshallah. And we hope that you will all come, you will attend, bring your friends, Muslim and non-Muslim, bring your children, the youth, let them come and attend so that we can all benefit from this joyous occasion. And for the souls of all of those mu'mineen and mu'minas, the deceased, let us recite Surah Al-Fatiha, Salat ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.